Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening.
Let us pray.
Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. We pray through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. I do welcome the children to come forward at this time. As they're coming forward, let me just share a couple words of introduction to our sermon today on baptism. Today, we are going to focus on the topic of baptism. We're going to look at basically six different things related to baptism. So we're going to take a look at baptism in a simple way with the children. We're going to address the question, why is baptism necessary? We're going to think a little bit about Jesus' own baptism. We're going to think how God has called us to himself. We're going to look at some realities of baptism. And finally, we're going to consider how we currently see our own baptism. Those are the things that we're coming to today. Good morning. Good to see you guys today. Well, I've got something here I want to show you, okay? I have a little shovel, and who can tell me what this is? Is it chocolate? What do you think it is?
Mud.
It's mud, that's right. I mixed it up myself. It's some good quality mud. So when we think about being sinners, we're kind of like mud. So mud doesn't look very nice, does it? Do you want to taste it? Okay. Well, what I also have here is I have a nice white napkin, okay? So let's see what happens if I take the mud and wrap it up in the napkin. So it looks pretty bad now, right? But what if I wrap this up? Does it look pretty nice now? Do you see mud anymore? So how does that relate to our baptism? Well, God wants us to know that because we're sinners, we're kind of like a big piece of mud. Now, God didn't wrap us up with a white napkin, though. God, in baptism, he wrapped us up in Jesus. So even though we are rotten sinners, God has made us clean because of Jesus, because he is God. He came down from heaven. He lived for us. He died on the cross for us. He took away our sins, and now God has made us his holy children. So we don't look like a chunk of mud anymore. Now we are God's holy children. Isn't that a great blessing that God has given us in baptism? So it seems like a simple thing in baptism, but God did some really wonderful, powerful things for us. At this time, we're going to go on to our one verse of the hymn we're focusing on today, See This Wonder in the Making. Then we're going to come to a very important question: why is baptism necessary? So if you think about what we just sang, who is taking action in baptism? Is it the child taking action? Is it the parents who took action? or is it God who takes action? So it's God who takes action. Like it said there, God himself, this child is taking. God wants us to know that baptism is an arrow pointing down from God down to us. So let's look at this question now. Why is baptism necessary? So we have four simple steps here. You can follow right along with me. So first of all, the Bible teaches us that all are sinful from conception. David said in Psalm 51, he said, "Surely I was sinful from the time my mother conceived me." So physical life begins right at conception. As soon as physical life begins, we are sinful. Okay? That's step one. Step two, all need Jesus. Without Jesus, we cannot be saved. Why is that so? Jesus himself said in John 14, "No one comes to the Father but through me." So where is the Father right now? Where is the Father right now? In heaven. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven. So he's in heaven. So Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but through me. So that means only through Jesus can we go to heaven where the Father is. That's the place we want to go. So we have to have Jesus in order to get to heaven. Step three, we have a problem here. All are helpless to get to Jesus. If we said today that the baptismal font represented Jesus, if I'm over here and I am dead, there's no way that I can get myself over to the font. There's no way I can get myself over to Jesus. Well, let's see what Paul wrote there in Ephesians chapter 2. He's talking about the Christians in Ephesus before God did his downward action to get a hold of them and unite them to Christ. So what was true of them before God took action? Paul wrote, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." So before God took action, they were spiritually dead. In order to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that is, we might say, well, we could look at it in a couple ways. Really, it's a gift from God. God is giving us that gift to believe. But we could also say it is a spiritual action. If they are spiritually dead, there's no way they can take any kind of a spiritual action. So we have the problem of sin. We have the necessity for Jesus Christ, but we also have an inability to be able to do anything to get a hold of Jesus Christ. So how does God fix that? God fixes that in baptism. Notice what it says here in Galatians chapter 3, "All of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So we need Christ. We can't get Christ on our own. So what does God do? God is at work through baptism in order to wrap us with Jesus Christ. So here we are, that old nasty chunk of mud, and now we're all wrapped up in this nice white napkin. We're all wrapped up in the righteousness of God. That's what he did in baptism. We're going to go on in a moment here to today's gospel reading. It's real short today. We're focusing on Jesus' baptism, and it's in Luke chapter 3. We're only going to look at verses 21 and 22. But think about Jesus, though, how his baptism is so much different than our baptism. Notice what I wrote. Jesus was not sinful. Jesus did not need to be saved, and Jesus was not helpless. So his baptism had a different purpose than ours. His baptism began his ministry, and what was his ministry leading him to? It was leading him to the reception of our sins, and finally his victory that he won over sin, death, and Satan. And then through baptism, What God is doing is God is uniting us to Jesus and to all that he did to win the victory over sin, death, and Satan. He won that victory, but united to him, now we have that victory over sin, over death, over Satan. Baptism is a really powerful, important thing. I invite you to please arise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. God is three persons in one God. Now, in the Nicene Creed, we confess together more of what we believe. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Is that what the Bible teaches, what we just sang? We don't care what popular opinion says. We don't care what makes sense. We care what the Word of God says. We take God at his word. Going to our Old Testament reading, we find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 43, looking at verse 1. In this reading, we see the Lord calling the descendants of Jacob, the nation of Israel, to be his own. So we have the Lord taking action. He calls these people to be his own. Baptism is very similar. In baptism, God is taking the person being baptized, and he's calling that person to be his very own. The Bible says, "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." The word of the Lord. We now come to our epistle reading today. We find ourselves in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. And in the passage we're going to look at, notice why we must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We'll come to that part more at the end, but notice why the Bible is saying overall that that must be the case for those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus and are still united to Christ Jesus. In the first part, I give this summary statement. Since we died to sin, we should stop living in sin. Let's see if that's what the Bible says. Picking up in verse 1 of Romans chapter 6, it says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" It means the more we sin, the greater God's grace becomes. So it's always a good thing if God's grace is greater. So the more we sin, the greater God's grace. So should we just keep sinning more and more and more? Is that the idea? What does Paul write? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? How can we who died to sin still live in it? Think about a practical example here. When a loved one of yours, pick anyone you can think of that has now passed away, when a loved one of yours was alive, he or she was influencing your life. However, though, now that that person has died, that person is no longer influencing your life. God wants us to know that for us, sin used to control us, but now, because we have been baptized into Christ, now we are dead to sin. In the second part, we died to sin when God united us to Christ through baptism. Again, notice what the Bible says in verses 3, 4, and 5. "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." So did you notice the three key things that God united us to? Well, first of all, think about Christ. So he really died, he was really buried, he really rose from the dead. So what did God do in baptism? God united us to his death. God united us to his burial. God united us to his resurrection. So when we think about who Christ is and what he did, we don't have to go through all of that. We have to be united to that. We have to get the benefits of what he did, but we don't have to go through the same thing. He did it for us. He is our Savior. So baptism is a way in which God made that union between us who have been sinful from conception and Jesus Christ, who did everything to take away our sin and open heaven for us. So united to Christ, what are the benefits? Some of them would be forgiveness, spiritual life, eternal life, and many other things. So being united to Christ in baptism, God wants us to know those benefits belong to us. Now we are no longer spiritually dead, now we are alive. No longer is God looking upon us and seeing us in our sin, now our sins are forgiven. Now we look like the white napkin, even though inside we're like a chunk of old mud. And God wants us to know that we have the gift of eternal life. So even though a time will come when our bodies will stop living, the most important part of us will continue to live, and God will take that part home to heaven. So we have great, great blessings in baptism. I need a volunteer. Can someone help me out? Okay, Dave, thank you very much. I saw Kevin's hand up, so I'm going to need another volunteer coming up here, so maybe I could get Kevin for that. Not quite yet, but in a moment. So would you come over here, Dave? I have a $10 bill, so I just want to give that to you and ask you to hang on to it. So now, just like in baptism, we were given great blessings, I just gave you a little tiny blessing. Can't do much with $10 in the world today. But as God gave us great blessings in baptism, so I've given you a little blessing in a $10 bill, okay? So I just want you to stay there and hang on to that for a couple minutes, okay? Thank you. Let's go on to our next part here. Part 3, sin was our master, but now, through our baptism into Christ, we have been set free. Notice what it says in verses 6 and 7. We know that our old self was crucified with him, thus put to death with him. Why? In order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For anyone who has died has been set free from sin. God wants us to understand that at one point, sin was our master. So think about a master-slave relationship. So at one point, sin was our master, we were the slave. When our master said, jump, we would say, how high? Okay, so we had that kind of a relationship with sin. But now, God wants us to know that sin is no longer our master, now God is our master. So now we're looking to God for instructions. Now we have a motivation within our hearts and lives to want to honor this great God because he is the one who took action in baptism by the Holy Spirit in order to unite us to Jesus Christ and to give us forgiveness, spiritual life, eternal salvation, and so much more. So that's why we want God as our master. We know that when sin tells us to do something, that's not going to be a good thing. We know that when God tells us to do something, that's always going to be the very best thing for us. So many differences there. Would you like to help me out, Kevin? Come on up. So when we can hear what someone is saying, we have an opportunity to be able to respond to what they're saying. But I brought these, Kevin, you know what these are, and I just want you to put these on. Go ahead and adjust them a little bit there. We want to have a nice, good seal. Are they on there good?
What?
This is a great volunteer right here. Why don't you stand right over here? He can't hear me, so I have to just move him around. So this is the idea, though, that I am sin, and when I was telling him what to do before these, he could hear what I was saying, and he was responding to what I was saying. But now, though, Kevin is dead to sin, so now he can't hear me anymore, and my hope and prayer for him is that he is listening now to God. So no longer is he getting direction from me, now from the Almighty God is telling this one what to do. We have to use sign language here with Kevin. So Kevin, with me, no more, now with God, that's the one that you're listening to. Okay, so now he knows that. Okay, you guys just stay there for a minute if you would. Let's go on to part 4. Notice what it says in part 4 here. Notice who it's talking about. The lives of baptized believers follow the pattern of Christ. The lives of baptized believers. Let's think about that for a moment now. So not only are we talking about people who have been baptized, but we are talking about people who are continuing to be believers in Jesus Christ. We don't believe the Bible is teaching a once saved, always saved kind of a teaching. So God does save in baptism, but does that mean that everyone who's been baptized is forever saved? The Bible doesn't seem to be teaching that. The Bible talks about how we can become shipwrecked with our faith, how we can walk away from Jesus Christ, how we can reject him as our Savior. So just because people are baptized doesn't automatically mean they are continuing as baptized believers. Let me try to give you an example of that. So with Dave, he's been such a good volunteer for me. Now, my intention was when I gave him the $10 that he would hang on to that and he would maybe take Dee out for maybe a McDonald's lunch or something here. Can you even get lunch for two for $10? I don't know. Maybe something small. Anyway, though, my whole idea there was to give him something that he would keep and benefit from. That's what's going on with baptism. God is giving us something in baptism that God wants us to keep and benefit from much more than $10. He wants us to benefit from that now and forever. The $10 can't do that. But with Dave having it now, he has the benefits of the $10. At this point, Dave, do you have the benefits of the $10? You don't. Okay, well, just stay there for a moment now. So just as the benefits given in baptism, if we start believing in us being good enough, in thinking somehow we're saving ourselves, that means we're no longer trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. So just as Dave had the benefits of the 10, and now he no longer has the benefits of the 10, so it's possible to have the benefits of baptism and then get to a point where we no longer have the benefits of baptism. Let's go a little further here. So in verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, notice what it says. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So don't consider yourselves to be a pile of mud. Consider yourselves a holy child of God wrapped in Jesus Christ. So what do you see when you look in the mirror? Who sees a pile of mud? Well, no, don't raise your hand. I want you to forget about this idea, and I want you to think about being a holy child of God in Jesus Christ. That's what God wants us to know. That's our source of joy. That's our source of peace. That's our source of great rejoicing. So in letter A, since Jesus defeated sin, he is now dead to sin. Since through baptism, we have been united to Jesus, who defeated sin on our behalf, we must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So letter B then, how would you describe yourself? So this is an important part of today's sermon. How would you describe yourself? You have two options here. So you're thinking back to your own baptism, and would you say, I was baptized, past tense, so it happened a long time ago, and it has no influence on my life today? That's option number one. Or option number two, would you say, I am baptized? That is present tense. That means that still, even now, I am clothed with Jesus Christ. Therefore, I consider myself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So is it a past reality that's no longer important? Or is it a present reality because you still have the benefits? I hope you can all say present. So here comes the $10 again. So I really took it away from Dave in a sense. He didn't give it up willingly. But I bet if he held onto it really tightly, I couldn't rip it away. So to Kevin, I'm sin. Maybe to Dave, I'm the devil, trying to rip those blessings away from him. And God is saying to us, trust in me, stay in my word, and I will give you the strength to hang on to the blessings that you have in my son, Jesus Christ. So it's possible to lose great blessings, but even if we do, even if anyone here said, for me, I was baptized, if that's what you said, that would be a sad thing, But it doesn't mean that it's all over. Thinking about that football game last night, it looked like it was all over for Pittsburgh, didn't it? But somehow a miracle occurred and they won the game. So God wants us to know that even if we have become disconnected from baptism, God can work a miracle and God can reconnect us. So God wants us to know the importance of being connected and the importance of staying connected. So when you see the font today, when you see it in the future, when you pass by it to come for the Lord's Supper, think about the fact that I am baptized. I am clothed in Jesus Christ. I have the forgiveness of my sins. I have the gift of eternal salvation. I am part of the body of Christ. I'm going to be with God forever. There's all kinds of important things you can think about because you can say, I am baptized. God's work through baptism was necessary. That is what united us to Jesus. Now, God is working through his word in order to keep us united to Jesus. Consider these final questions. Number one, have you been baptized? For me, that's yes. Number two, did God unite you to Jesus when you were baptized? I would say yes to that based on what the Bible says. Number three, are you still united to Jesus? In other words, is Jesus still your only Savior? I'm glad that I can say yes to that now in my life, and I pray that you can say the same. For all of us who answered yes to each question, God wants us to give thanks to him for his powerful work to unite us here and his ongoing work to keep us in the one true faith. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you, Kevin. And that is yours to keep, Dave. Thanks so much. No, please. Well, Dave got to keep the $10 because I want him to think about those precious blessings of baptism. Kevin didn't get anything, so I got to get something for you here, Kevin. Well, here, have a chocolate-covered Rice Krispies treat. There you go. Thanks a lot, guys, for helping me out.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule. Service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.